Chapter 11. Step away from the diary.
Hey, where'd they go?
A deep voice asks. They, meaning Jonah, Prince, Frederick, and I, are wedged in the back of Princess Coco's closet, behind a few big leather satchels full of arrows. Sparkly shoes line the floor, and pretty tulle-skirted dresses hang from hooks. We are all silent, even Prince. My heart is racing.
Huh,
the same voice says.
I thought they were waiting in here.
We hear something drop on the ground.
Why am I so bad at this?
I glance at Jonah, and then I peer through the keyhole of the closet door. It's the round, bald guard, Morton. The apple, now a mostly eaten core, is on the floor. The guard picks it up, throws it in the air, and tries, and fails, to catch it with his left hand. It's safe, I whisper to everyone. Jonah nods. I open the door, and we all fall out of the closet.
Oh, there you are,
Morton says. He's holding a stack of clothing in his free hand.
No offense, but I brought you some clean clothes to change into. Yours were a little, smelly.
I nod understandingly. They certainly are. And I blame Princess Coco for leaving me in the well.
They're Princess Coco's old t-shirts and shorts,
Morton explains, placing the clothes on the bed.
But they're in good condition. We've been meaning to donate them to charity.
Thank you, I tell him. We appreciate it. Morton nods.
Also, you should know that the soldier at the door informed me that Princess Coco left for the night. She's spending the evening at her eldest sister's boarding school an hour away from here, he explains. She'll be back early in the morning. Did you come from far to see her?
You have no idea, I say.
Well, you're welcome to stay the night since you're friends of the princess. She won't mind.
She won't? I ask in disbelief. Morton shrugs.
Her bark is worse than her bite.
Woof! Prince barks. His bark is worse than his bite, too. Not that he's ever bitten anyone. I hope he doesn't bite anyone. I also hope he doesn't pee on the princess's carpet or munch on her royal shoe collection.
If you need anything, just ask for Morton. That's me,
Morton says.
Oh, and Reginald might come by, too.
Since I'm supposed to be friends with Coco, I should probably know who Reginald is. A bell rings, a loud, shrill bell. Then it rings again.
I have to go, he says. That's the king calling. Can't keep the king waiting, you know.
He walks to the door.
You'll find extra blankets in the closet. Bye now.
I glance at my watch. It's only 2:30 at home. I spot an alarm clock on the nightstand beside the princess's bed. It says 7:30 p.m. I watch the two clocks and wait for them to change. 7:31. 7:32. When the princess's clock changes to 7:33, my watch changes to 2:31. That means that time is moving three times as fast here as it is at home. So if we want to get home by 7 a.m. wake up, we have to leave by 9 a.m. here. But really more like 8:30 if we want to get back in our beds before our parents come into our rooms. We have 13 hours left in this fairy tale. That's tons of time. I look at the clothes Morton left on Coco's bed. Shorts and t-shirts. I hand Jonah the smaller set, a white t-shirt and blue shorts. I'll wear the purple t-shirt and denim shorts. Jonah goes into the closet to change, and then I do. Ah, fresh, clean clothes have never felt so good. I drop our dirty pajamas in the corner of the closet and make a mental note to remember to take them home. I am often forgetting pajamas in fairy tales. When I come back into the room, Jonah's checking out Coco's toys, and boy, does she have a ton of toys. She has puzzles. She has Legos. She has stuffed animals piled in a corner. She has a princess castle. Ha! Princesses have princess castles. There's a canopy bed. Of course there is. There always is in princess rooms. It must be in the princess manual. On the wall across from the bed is a painted mural. I step a bit closer to make out what it is. It's the palace we're in, with a braided rainbow above it. Surrounding the palace are lush giant trees and purple and orange flowers. It's beautiful. It looks like it was made by a professional artist. On another wall is a very small bureau with a round mirror. I laugh at my reflection. Apparently a trip down a waterfall makes for very messy hair. I wonder if this mirror is our portal home. We never know what our portal home is going to be. It's sometimes a mirror, but not always. I knock on it quickly to see if anything happens. Nothing. Guess it's not the mirror. Although mirrors sometimes only work when they're ready. Across from the bureau is a small desk with a stack of pink books on it and two tall candlesticks. A chair with a padded pink cushion is pushed under the desk. There's a small, plush pink chaise under the window. In one corner is a bow, not a hair bow, an archery bow. I guess the one that goes with all the arrows in the closet. In another corner is a rocking horse. The pink carpet under my bare feet is soft, but looks well worn. There is something off about the room. But what? First of all, it's very pink. So pink. I have nothing against pink, but I feel like I'm drowning in cotton candy. It's something else, though. What is it? I picture Coco in my mind. Choppy, short blonde hair and the tiara was all I could see from my position at the bottom of the well. I have no idea how old she is, how tall she is, but I did have an entire not-so-nice conversation with her. She didn't sound like a kid Jonah's age, or even my age. Did you guys get a good look at Coco? I asked Jonah and Frederick. Jonah picks up a stuffed pink dragon. Kind of, he says.
Yes, says Frederick. I've followed her around all day, as you'll recall.
How old is she? I ask.
14 or 15, Frederick says. A year or two younger than me.
I stifle a laugh. I never think of frogs as having an age. Then again, Frederick probably means his human age. I pick up one of the stuffed animals, a sea lion wearing a sparkly pink t-shirt. Doesn't this room seem young? I ask Frederick and Jonah. Like it's for a kid and not a teenager? Are we sure this is Coco's room? Maybe she has a younger sister.
Cassandra's the youngest. And?
Frederick points to the window.
It has her nickname on it. No one would use a royal's nickname. That would be treason.
Morton would have told us if we had the wrong room, Jonah says.
Good point. But it looks like a little kid's room. Strange.
Maybe she just really likes stuffed animals, Jonah says, and bows and arrows.
Frederick leaps up onto the canopy bed.
I don't really care about the decor, he says. Can we focus on me? Maybe you can throw me against the wall here and see if that works.
He nods at Jonah.
Or you could try the pillow version first, I reply, less painful.
But you said the original version of the story involves a wall,
Frederick reminds me,
with me landing against it. So let's begin by attempting that.
No problem, Jonah says.
He picks up Frederick and looks around at the different walls. Don't use the rainbow one, I tell him, gesturing to the mural. It looks hand-painted.
Yeah, I don't want to get frog guts on it, Jonah says.
I definitely don't think the princess would appreciate frog guts on her mural, I say. Frederick gulps.
No frog guts on any of the walls, please,
he adds. Poor Frederick. It has to be scary getting thrown at walls.
Jonah will be careful, I assure him. Got it. No frog guts, Jonah says.
He winds up his arm, aims at the wall behind the bed, and fires.
I hold my breath. Whoosh! Smack!
Still a frog?
Frederick asks, lying with his back on the carpet and his little green legs in the air. Still a frog, I say with a sigh. I bend down to help him up, and I pat him on the head. Frederick rubs the back of his neck.
That hurt.
Why don't you try the pillow now? I ask. Here, let me help you. He climbs onto the palm of my hand, and I lower him onto the center of the pink lace pillowcase. I guess we can put on fresh linens after we're done.
What now?
Frederick asks, crossing his legs.
Should I attempt to take a nap?
Absolutely, I say. That's what happens in one of the versions of the story. You fall asleep, and then you turn into a prince.
I'll try,
he says, and closes his eyes. I watch him. He opens his eyes.
Stop staring at me.
Sorry, I say. I'll do something else. He closes his eyes again, and I wander around the room. Prince is busy batting around a pink stuffed kitten.
Wow, the princess is writing a book, Jonah says, standing in front of Coco's desk.
I glance over. A notebook is lying open next to one of the candlesticks. On the other side of the desk, there's an entire stack of pink notebooks with a pencil lying across the cover of the one on top. She must really like to write stories.
She has good handwriting, Jonah says, looking at the open notebook. Every I is dotted, and the G's and P's have perfect swirls.
I wish I had good handwriting. When I'm filling in Mad Libs, Robin and Frankie always have to ask me what something I wrote actually says. Jonah starts reading.
Today, when I was playing ball, I dropped it into the well. Jonah begins to read out loud. There was a girl stuck in there, and she asked me to help her. Maybe I should have. But I didn't feel like having a whole conversation with her. I wouldn't even know what to say. Does that make me a terrible person? Probably. I know you would have helped her. You always helped everyone. I banged my elbow on my desk this morning and started to cry. Not because it hurt that bad, but because you always hugged me any time I had the tiniest injury. I miss you so much, Mom.
Oh my gosh. I realize what Jonah has read. My heart pinches. It's something very private. Jonah opens his mouth to keep on reading, but I cut him off.
Stop reading! I yell.
Huh?
Why? It's a good story,
Jonah says.
It's a true story, I tell him. It's Coco's diary.
Oops, Jonah says, dropping the journal like a hot potato.
I didn't know.
He picks up the pencil from the top book on the stack and looks at the front cover.
Double oops, he adds.
Diary is written in gold on the front of the book. Yikes, I read someone's diary. Well, someone read me someone's diary. A princess's diary. A princess who already hates me. But what I heard makes me feel really bad for Princess Coco. She misses her mom. She writes her diary entries to her mom. Is her mom dead? Poor Coco. I wish I hadn't read, well, listened to her diary. What an invasion of Coco's privacy. I didn't mean to do it, but still. I sit on the bed with a funny feeling in my chest.
Sad, huh?
Jonah says. I nod. Diaries are private, I remind him. I'm going to forget I ever read that,
and so should you.
Forgotten, he says. Then he gets that strange look on his face.
Hey, I'm trying to forget Coco's diary, but I just remembered something else. Someone once read Mary Rose's diary.
Really? Who? I ask. Jonah starts scratching his head.
Jax, he says. It was her cousin Jax. She was so mad at him, she wouldn't speak to him for a week.
Oh, I say. I could totally see Jax reading someone's diary on purpose. Jonah and I did it by accident, at least. I glance back at Frederick on the bed. His little froggy chest is rising and falling. He seems to be asleep.
He's asleep, I mouth to Jonah, excited. This is it. Frederick will sleep, and then wake up, and then he'll be transformed.
Then we can go home, and Princess Coco will never know that we were in her room and accidentally read her diary. Prince spots a stuffed animal that looks a lot like Snoopy, and he woofs hello.
Shh, Jonas says. Frederick's sleeping.
Frederick's eyes pop open.
Of course I'm not sleeping. How could anyone sleep with the three of you around? Have you ever heard of indoor voices?
Crumbs.
Hey, booms an unfamiliar boy's voice at the door. Let's go have some fun.